Well, what I'd like to do this evening is to simply read a passage of Scripture, make a few comments, and then we'll spend some time in prayer. So if you would, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 15. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we pause once again today to look into your word and to gather for prayer, we just pray that you administer to our hearts. We also think of those who are not able to be here. We just pray that you administer to them as well in a special way. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Do you ever feel like you're not able to enter boldly? Like you're unworthy? It's kind of, I don't know if weird is the right word, strange. But we're not worthy in and of ourselves. But it's by the blood of Jesus that we're able to enter boldly. But I guess it's strange because we're so associated with our sinful flesh, with this broken world, that sometimes to enter boldly might tap into our own pride, but that's what it says. We have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. And he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. He's the one that gave us this new and living way. It's new because it's not according to the law. We don't have to get it right in order to be blessed. The Lord Jesus fulfilled the law, and by faith in him, so do we, and have boldness to enter. The pressure is off. We should not feel a pressure to get it right, to perform, so that we merit his favor. Now, his love for us, our love for him, that should compel us to want to please him. And he is doing that in our hearts and lives. He's working that through his Holy Spirit. He's working that out in our lives. But there's no more pressure. It's a new and living way. And having a high priest over the house of God, this high priest, the Lord Jesus, right? He is our high priest. He is our sympathetic high priest. He knows exactly what we've gone through, what we're going through, what we struggle with. The exhortation here, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So, first couple of thoughts there, that we live by a new and living way. We are different than people who have yet come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We're different. Not because, again, not because of ourselves, not because of, you know, we're getting this thing right, but because of what he's done for us, because of what he's called us to, right? He's called us to himself. He's called us out of the world. He's called us together. We're different. And in thinking about this time that we're going through, which in some ways, I guess depending on what aspect you're considering, things could be a lot worse. I mean, I have friends who were children during the Depression and remember difficult times on a mass scale. I remember what it felt like on 9/11. I mean, we go back in history and look at times that the world or much of the world faced challenges and difficulties that our situation right now perhaps pales in comparison to. But really, I mean, I'm still a young person. I've never experienced anything like this before that I can remember. And I venture to say most of the people in the room probably haven't either. And so how are we to function as believers? How are we to be different in the midst of all this? And one thing I would exhort myself to do and encourage you to do as well is to draw near with a true heart. Draw near to him. Some people still have to go into work. Some people are doing it from home. Our kids don't get a break, but a lot of kids are getting some kind of a break or definitely a different thing where they're setting up computer or online classes and all this. Everybody's trying to figure it out, but it looks like the lack of gathering together in public is going to give a lot of people extra time on their hands. And so instead of simply filling our time as the days tick by with entertainment or whatever it is, and I'm not knocking that. Maybe the Lord's using this in your life to make you rest, to make you slow down, and that's good. But let's use this time wisely and draw near to him. Says, let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I think Al hinted at it this morning that we don't really know how this is all going to play out. Everybody's goal is to flatten the curve, right? To reduce the need or the burden on the hospitals. But we really, it's the expert's best guess, right? But as believers, how are we to respond to that? Well, we have a hope that transcends this world. We know that this isn't all there is. So best case scenario, this is a very strange, odd blip in our life this year. Worst case scenario, who knows what that could be. But our hope is not in this world. Our hope is not in good health. Our hope is not in life functioning the way it always has. And we're not guaranteed to have that. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. No matter what happens, he is faithful. He's not been caught off guard. He's not surprised by any of this. And he knows how it's going to end up. And he's a good God. And we can trust him. And verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. In the midst of this, with our brothers and sisters, how can we encourage one another? How can we stir one another up in love and good works? You got ideas? I'd love to hear them, right? I mean, let's stir one another up in the midst of all this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. I'm not saying that we should not cancel any future meetings. I'm not saying that people who don't come are less spiritual. It's not at all what I'm saying. It's not at all what this is saying. But no matter what we decide to do, let each one of us ask, how can I be a blessing to the saints? What can I do to love them? What can I do to continue to stir them up to good works, to further equip them? Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. I guess sometimes situations like this, big situations that arrest us, that grab our attention, they make us, or they should make us, think about again what's really important. I think it was Stephen Covey who wrote the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And he came up with the day planner, or the Franklin Covey planner. Anyway, he said, I'm going to murder the quote. The main thing in life is to keep the main thing the main thing. Right? And so, this should make us reevaluate, right? What is the main thing? Am I living in a way where my focus is on him, where everything that I do flows out of the reality that my hope is in him? And maybe situations like this might highlight areas where we go, ooh, that thing I thought was super important that took up so much of my time really isn't that important at all. So much the more as you see the day approaching. So, those few thoughts for us to think about, that we are not like the world. And no matter what their response is, because it's the full spectrum, right, of responses. And in our day and age of instant access to news and information and other people's opinion, there's no shortage of quick outrage on both ends of the spectrum. So how are we to be different? Are we just going to be another voice throwing our opinion out there for other people to read or hear? Or are we going to reflect that we live by a new and living way? Let us use this time to draw near to Him. Let's ask Him to show us how we can be a blessing. Let's ask Him, is there anything for me to learn in all of this? Let's ask Him to show us not only how we can be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, but to the lost around us. We're different. We live differently. Can we love differently? So that they would say, wow, it's refreshing. Why are you different? Why are you doing this? So much the more as you see the day approaching, right? Let's allow this to help us refocus. And again, ask the Lord, show me, make it clear to me the things that I've invested time and energy into that really don't matter. And help me to keep the main thing the main thing. So I'd like for us to spend some time in prayer. Perhaps I'll just stay here and write down any requests that are mentioned. I don't want to discourage anyone from mentioning requests related to people's health or injuries, because those are important. But I'd also